We all need to be closer to God. Amen. A lot of things upset the world today. Been upsetting everybody all week long, but here you are today on Sunday, so I guess all that upset really wasn't that bad after all, was it? The things that you went through in your house is what really matters, and God got you from last Sunday to this Sunday. That's where you need to look, and if you walk closer with God, all the noise of the world will not get inside you. They just won't enter you. The noise of the world cannot receive what God has given us. Amen. So you have it. You have it. Let's take that closer walk today.
Thank you. great-great-granddaughter, when she was 9 years old, got serious, cancer when she was nine, and it was very bad. Pat's great-great-granddaughter got married. Pat's great-great-granddaughter just had a little baby. The devil can try to step on everything that we do, but when God's in control, and trust me, prayers forever work, amen? Prayer works. When you pray, you're talking to God, the God that we believe in, the God of the Bible, amen? I just had to share that with you because it's just a beautiful story and the compassion and the love and the blessing. So thank you for sharing that with us, Pat. Let's stand up and pray together this morning. Thank you, Lord. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever and ever. And that's promised to who? You. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Stay standing. That's right. Give them praise, churches. Praise God. Let the town hear you praising him. You want to move this town to Derby? Let them hear praises coming out of here that they can't stop hearing until they come in. Amen. Make them come in. It's good. Amen. So good to see everybody here this morning. I pray that you get fed, and I pray that you get joy. And when you leave here, I pray that you're stronger. Amen? That's what we pray about. Responsive reading, Psalm 100. Hallelujah. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. And we just did that, didn't we, church? We're on the right path already. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And you can tell everybody, and you come to church on Sunday, and we do exactly that, don't we? We enter with thanksgiving, and we give him praise over and over again, amen? For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. How many generations?
All.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Whew. That's good. Thank you, Father. Deacon Gary said he had a great Bible study even though the weather was bad. Tom and Pat are on the way to Tennessee to see their daughter. Have you heard anything since you posted that? Nothing? Okay, well then that's good. Yeah, we just like it. You know, we always say no news is good news, and they're enjoying each other. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Family and friends coming together. We're going to celebrate Thanksgiving this week. Amen. We're going to share a day together. Isn't that good? Going to share a home. Somebody's going to open up their home. Thank you, Lord. Sharing some drinks and sharing some wonderful meal. Amen. Are those blessings? At these festive occasions, there are going to be children and grandchildren. Folks are going to talk about their new job, their old job. Folks are going to talk about the Yankees and the Red Sox. Amen. Folks are going to talk about football. Go Cowboys. Folks are going to have dessert. Blessing after blessing. Amen. Blessing after blessing. Where do those blessings come from? God, amen. We have a lot to be thankful for. You look around this church. As a pastor, I am humbled to my knees. Deacon Gary, I know you feel the same way I do, brother. I'm humbled to my knees to look out and see people coming, people getting fed, amen. We are a blessed church, and we're growing in the blessing. You just read from the Bible, and we do everything in this church, try to do everything the Bible tells us, amen. Hallelujah. Yet as a nation, we need to heal. We need to forgive. Amen? To forgive. It's time for healing. We need to trust God. And this is the hard part. I understand it, but understand what we need to do, what you need to do. We need to pray for those we disagree with. Amen? The Word of God says that. You read Romans 12. I'm telling you, any pastor should preach. Maybe I'll do it, Romans 12, because it just talks about vengeance is mine, say the Lord. Amen? Do not stir anybody up to anger. Do not go out and search for your own. Amen? Do not be wise in your own opinion. Over and over. We need to pray for those that we disagree with. Amen? Now, everybody's had to do that every day of their life, amen? But this country right now needs prayer. Simple. God will heal us if we do the one thing, the one foundation that keeps us separate. We forgive, amen? Are you with me? Being a Christian is no little thing. I'm telling you this today because, Jim, you got to know. It is being a leader. We need to now set the example. Amen? That's what we need to do. We need to set the example to forgive and heal our nation. And I got to ask you this. Has anybody here ever been wrong before? Never? Joanne said never. Being wrong is the beginning of healing. If you can admit that sometimes you're wrong about something, it opens up the channels of healing. You can learn from your mistakes, amen? You can learn that God is truly in control, amen? You can see where I was wrong about this or I was wrong about that, and thank God he didn't let me go where I wanted to go. I wanted to do this. God said, no, I was mad. I was wrong. He was right, amen? I desired to go play somewhere on the other, and God said, no, I want you here. I was wrong. He was right, amen? Decisions that I made that were wrong, praise God that he made them right, amen? Praise God, amen? But I got to tell you, and I hope I don't cry because this really affects my spirit. There are words being used right now and names being used that raise up pure hate, and raise up times in our world of very evil times, amen? And they're using these words all the time, whenever you turn on, and they're using the words so much that all of a sudden they forget the meaning of the evil that they're talking about. Because people that we know, people that we see on TV, people that have served this country for 50 years, they're not evil people. They're not any of those things. Amen? Yet today we're hearing these words, and all they're going to do is divide us. Amen? We're going to name this, and that's why words should only be spoken when they're true. Amen? Somebody who has served this country for 30 years cannot be an evil person. He has given his time, his heart. Maybe his policies were different than you agree with, amen? How many have been wrong before? Come on, how many have been wrong before? Maybe his policies were different, but he's not an evil person. I don't even want to say the words. I really don't, because I hear them so much that I said, do they really understand the depth of the evil of the name they're calling somebody? Simply because they might have said something 30 years ago, or they might have done something. Praise God, I don't want you to know what I did 30 years ago. I'll tell you somebody else that didn't want anybody to know what he did 30 years ago. Paul in the Bible. Amen? Praise God. But some of the words that they're using and some of the names go back to a time where millions of people were dying because people were like that. Millions of people couldn't do what they do today because there was that depth of evil. And to bring these names up and use these words again and to make them so common that every time you turn on some commentator say, blah, 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 and he uses that word, and I'm thinking, Lord, where do we go from there? See, there's no conversation after that. When you call somebody something so evil, you have removed any chance of healing. Amen? So why should anybody else want to be with that person if that person is that evil? Amen? But see, that's where Christians need to be leaders. Amen? That's where we need to take the man. We need to stand up with our hands in the Bibles in our hands and say, we forgive. This is a nation of Christians who forgive. We invite people into church every week, don't we? If we didn't have to only invite people who'd never sinned before, Sergio, every church in the country would be empty of people. So as a Christian, the first thing we need to do is forgive. Amen? And then the second thing we need to do is pray for those persons, people that we disagree with. Amen? We pray for that person. What happens? He hears from God. Suppose you pray for the person that you hate the most, and I hate using hate. But if you prayed for that person, you're so mad at him, and you prayed about that, and all of a sudden he sees the light. all of a sudden he sees the wrongs that he did, and he gets on his knees and says, Lord, I'm sorry. And he comes back and says, I'm so sorry. I want to change. Help me change. And will you accept him? Or if you've labeled him like something, you won't accept him with those words. The things that they're bringing up are unbelievable. In this country in 2016, I get it. People aren't happy with some things that happened. Amen? But God is, see, Christians, we got to rise up. Understand that. Are you with me? As a Christian, you have to rise up. We need to set the example, because obviously the world is not going to set the example. The world is going to continue to hate. And when you get people to hate, Jim, they're going to go out and hate. They're going to see somebody who disagrees with them because they agree with something else, and they're going to hate that person. Why? Why would they? They don't even know the person. So, well, I like this person. You like that person. You must be all them things together. You see what happens when we allow those words and those names to be so constant and so out there? All we're doing is getting people mad at each other. People you don't even know. How many here have ever been wrong before? Except Joanne. We should be concerned and saddened by such words. Amen? We should be. Every time you hear those words, and you know what the words I'm talking about, you should be sad because of what they mean and represent. And I'll tell you one thing. Somebody should never have to be put in a place to defend their innocence. If you've lived your life and you've lived it the best you can, and nobody has ever brought up anything against you, and somebody all of a sudden says, you're a child molester, and you're forced to defend something that's innocent, it's an impossible place to be, amen? Because once an accusation goes out there, how do you defend yourself against when you're innocent, amen? Hallelujah. We should never have to defend that. So, church, I'm telling you this morning, you got Thanksgiving coming on Thursday. We need to rise up as Christians. We need to rise up as children of God. We need to heal our families and our friends. Are you with me? If you've been wrong before, understand you can be wrong again. Amen? But if you say that I was wrong before, it opens up the door to learning. It opens up the door to understanding. It opens up the door to maybe you could find a better way. Amen? They say, well, if I was wrong, then I'm going to pray to God. Because let me tell you one thing, God has never been wrong. Say that with me. God has never been wrong. Hallelujah. Tomorrow, what are you doing tomorrow? Anybody know what you're doing tomorrow? You got plans for tomorrow, Greg, right? But you don't know if tomorrow's going to come, is it? So tomorrow is yet to come. Amen? So you're going to get mad at something that's going to happen 2 weeks from now, but you don't know if you're going to be here 2 weeks from now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Today is what we have. Today we got to get stronger. I have a friend, and I know some folks in here know this same man. He's in his 90s. And this is beautiful. This is a beautiful way to understand and get through God's testimony. He's in his 90s now. He worked and traveled with a man named Gene Autry. Anybody ever heard of Gene Autry? He worked with him. And Gene would tell him, he was with him every day, and Gene would tell him, said, anybody dislike you? Anybody ever come up and get it and say things mean to you? And Gene said, of course they did. He said, well, what did you do? And he told us, he said, when somebody came up to Gene and disagreed with him and said things to him, Gene would look at him and say, that's nice to know. That's nice to know. Thank you for sharing that with me. So where does that leave the person who's angry? All by himself, amen? So what I pray for, and what I want, your holiday is coming. You got a lot of, and let me tell you, what's happened the last couple of weeks have actually separated some families. We've seen stuff that's just unbelievable. So what I want you to do Thanksgiving, when you got a brother-in-law over, a sister-in-law over, or somebody else over, who is so upset about something, and they're mad at you because you don't agree with them, and they say that to you, you just say, that was nice to know. Thanks for sharing that. And get back to the blessings that you have around us. Amen? The blessings around. How many blessings? The house that somebody's sharing, the food that we're sharing, the love, the grandkids. Get back to that. If somebody starts to upset you, just say, That's nice to know. Thanks for sharing. Are you with me? Thank you, Lord. Church, we have so much to be thankful for. Today, tomorrow, We're good. Today is all you have. Tomorrow is not yet promised. Amen. Tomorrow's a new day. So rejoice in the day. Don't get caught up in the hate. When you see the hate, walk away. When you see the hate, just refuse to accept it. Amen. Because if you're a Christian, and I know you are, then you know that God is in control. And if God is in control and you've been wrong before, I think you should get a little closer to God. If something is really bothering you that bad, then you draw closer to God and let Him protect you. Let Him show you. Amen. Are you with me? Because Thanksgiving is coming, and I don't want anybody's family upset. I don't want anybody fighting about things because of something in the world. Amen. Because in that house, wherever you are, wherever you're going, there is so much love to be thankful for. There's so many blessings to be thankful for. Amen. And that's what we need to do. And as Christians, we need to rise up. We need to stop the anger. We need to tell the world God is in control. And whoever listens will be blessed. Amen? Not everybody will, but we're not looking for everybody. We're just looking for everybody who wants to find God. Amen? That's what we need to do as Christians. Let's pray together. Lord, we know that You're never wrong. We know that Your way is the best way. Whatever has happened, Lord, we know that You have a hand in it. That whatever is going, whatever we go to the left or right, You have a hand in it. Whatever decisions, Lord, we want You to be the final judge. We want You to take the bad and make it good, Lord. We want You to fix our problems. We want You to heal our land. We are a nation under You, one nation under God. We need to let that shine. The world is trying to make that light darker, and we're not going to let it. We're not going to let it because we love You. We're going to tell more people about You. We're going to give them the hope that the world's not giving them. We're going to give them the peace that the world is not giving them. We're going to tell them about Jesus, the forgiver of all who sin. The forgiver of all who sin. We're going to tell them about Jesus and the new life we have with Jesus. We live in the covenant of grace, no longer under the bondage of the covenant of sin. We live under the covenant of grace. So as we forgive those who forgive trespass against us, let us not forget that that heals the land. As we forgive others who disagree with us, understand that heals your house. Amen. Just let it heal your house. Have a beautiful Thanksgiving. Have a beautiful celebration. And share the love and share all the blessings, all the smiles, all the food that you did, the television, everything that you enjoy together as a family. Enjoy every second of that because those are blessings from God. And if someone wants to say something of upset, just say, like Gene Autry said, that's nice to know. And move on. Lift it up, Christians. Lift up the light of God. Lift up the love of God. Let's unite. We may disagree, but let's unite that God has the answer. And that's where the most important answer comes from. In Jesus' name, I pray that we can do that. Hallelujah. Feel the peace of that song? Did you feel when she's singing that, you feel peaceful inside your spirit? Hear our prayer, O Lord. That's the way to do it. Amen. Give Him praise, church, because that's why you're here. Hallelujah. Science without God. Brother Michael, good to see you. If I saw you earlier, we'd have done traveling, man. See? Praise God. Science without God. Answers in the Bible. I mean, anybody read the Bible? What is the Bible? It's a book about God. Amen. Book about Jesus. Is there anything in the Bible? I don't know. What else is in the Bible? Let me tell you, there's history in the Bible. Amen. Anybody like history? But there's other things in the Bible that to me are fascinating. People don't talk about it enough. That this is a book from who? God. When Moses went to the mountain, who was he talking to? God. And he went up and spent a long time there. They didn't think he was coming back. And who was he talking to? So when he came back down and he wrote the first five books of the Bible, who was he writing about? Who did he speak to? First-hand knowledge, amen? There's things in the Bible for us, amen? There's healing, not just the healing of your body, but there's healing in medicine. There's science. There's things in the Bible that would have helped us thousands of years ago. And it took thousands of years for people to find out. And that's what I want to do today. I want to share some of my favorite things in the Bible that are in the world today that people just don't get. How many of you remember Noah's Ark? Noah's Ark, right? We remember the story, how God told Noah to build the ark, right, Jack? You know? And he told him, how many cubits? 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, 30 cubits high. A cubit is anywhere between 18 to 22 inches, depending on the place of the origin. Greek is a little bigger than the Hebrew, but it's a measurement of about 18 to 20 inches. That's a cubit. He told Noah to build that ark, and you read that story, and you passed over that story. But, amen, in 1609, anybody here then in St. Walter? They ain't going to get even with him. Walter don't know it. In 1609 in Holland, a ship was made by the same pattern. This fella in Holland, the ship made a ship the same pattern as the ark. By the 1900s, listen to this. This is so, in the 1900s, every large ship was inclined towards the proportions of the ark. And you can, you know, that's just not me. You go look it up. Anybody wants to look it up. And by the way, that's, you want to read about Noah's Ark, it's Genesis 6. You want to go back and read that. I know you all, but you might not read it. But Lloyd's Register of Shipping in the World Almanac. In the World Almanac, Lloyd's Register of Shipping wrote that the ships today, the largest ships were built the same way proportion that God told Noah to build them. Amen? 10 generations after Adam and Eve. But it's in the Bible. You see, it took them until the year 1609 to say, maybe we ought to try and build something like that with the same size. Maybe that would, and they did. And guess what they found out? Perfection. In a storm, how it travels in a storm, how fast it goes, everything that was needed, they got from who? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Woo-hoo. That's good. Yeah, keep it up. And guess where that was? In what? In the Bible. Anybody know Matthew Maury? He's considered the father of oceanography. Anybody here like to study the ocean? I know your daughter, like, she's over there studying the ocean. She's underneath the ocean studying the ocean. Let me read something to you that's in Psalm 8. It would be verse 8, but it says, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. That's in the Bible. In Psalms. It says, and the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. So you read that and you say, okay, well, that doesn't mean anything to me. But Matthew Murray, who's considered the father of oceanography, he said, what does that mean? So he went out to see what that meant. Are you with me? He discovered the warm and cold continental currents. He said, if God said there's a path in the sea, and it's in the Bible, then there must be something to it. And he went out and discovered where they were. Amen. All his books on oceanography remain as one of the basic texts on the subject in universities. I wish Cassie was here today, because it's in the universities. They still teach what he learned. And where did he learn it from? Psalm 8. Absolutely. He learned that from the Bible. Are you with me? In Job 38:16, God asked Job, have you ever entered the springs of the sea, or have you ever walked in search of its depths? Now, God was asking Job this, amen? And they start, listen to what he said again. Have you ever entered the springs of the sea? Well, what would Job know about the springs of the sea, amen? What would anybody know who didn't know about the ocean? But somebody who studies oceanography would have to say, wait a minute. Are you with me? Modern deep sea diving cameras have discovered amazing hot water vents on the floor of the ocean. They discover them because they were already there. And who put them there? And where could he have found that out? In the Bible. In the book of Job. Now, there's more in Job. If you want to read Job, there's more about how the earth hangs on itself and it just wasn't attached to anything. How the earth and the travels and the sun, it's all in the book of Job. Astronomers all had to read the book of Job and they would have found out, amen, about all those things written in this book. You see, this is not just a book about some God. Some of the other religions have a book about God. This is a book about history, about our history. In the beginning, God created, amen? He made everything all to its own. That's why a fish is a fish, a deer is a deer, a rabbit is a rabbit. In the last 25 billion years, a rabbit has been a rabbit because the Bible said he has made each to its own. Amen? You can have all the rabbits you want, come back 5,000 years later, you're going to have a whole pen full of rabbits. Are you with me? Now, Leviticus, the book of Leviticus 15 says, tells us to do something. And you might laugh about it, but they didn't laugh. It tells us to wash or bathe in running water. Running water. How many remember the old westerns where the doctor went in and he had a bowl of water and he's rubbing his hands? And you ever see the bowl of water? Well, that they actually did that, and there was women. The doctor's name is kind of in 1845. He's from Vienna, Ignaz Semmelweis. He was a doctor. He was a doctor from Vienna. He saw that women and children were dying giving at birth because the doctor would go see a patient, wash his hands in the bowl, go see another patient, wash his, and what he was washing his hands in was the same water, amen? Even if he washed his hands, it was the water. And then in the Bible, he saw that in the Bible. And this doctor is praised for saving millions of lives because he said, the Bible says use running water. Amen. But it was in the Bible. And it took till the year 1845 for man to figure that out, Sergio. But it's in this book. Your book. Amen. Whose book? Yeah, it's in this book. I love this stuff. Are you guys with me? I mean, I love this stuff. Anybody hear about the Black Plague? Remember the Black Plague back in the 14th century? Say that with me. Millions of people died that didn't have to die. The Bible told us. Are you with me? Told us what to do. Thank you, Lord. During the Black Plague, millions died. Families, hospitals, patients, they were kept in the same rooms. They didn't have hospitals like you have. They had rooms. And they kept, all these people kept coming in with the disease, the Black Plague, all the families getting together, and they all died. Because they did not understand the word quarantine. But the Bible says when you have like leprosy or you have a disease, you're to be quarantined. You're to be set apart. You set them apart away from those that aren't sick. Amen. You heal the sickness and you save everybody else. The Black Plague that killed millions of people, if they had just read the Bible and understood what God was saying in Leviticus about quarantine, about separating those that are sick from those that are healthy, Roger would have saved millions of lives. Millions. Are you with me? Millions of lives. Thank you. A History of Medicine. Grant R. Jeffries and Arturo Castelloni. He's Italian. Anybody Italian in here? I want you to be proud of Mr. Arturo Castelloni. He's one of the doctors that discovered and started quarantine, separating people from people who were sick. Your book, the difference between your book and all the other religious books, your book would have taught those people how to survive. This book, the Bible, would have saved millions of deaths if they simply read this book and understood. The people with medicine would have saw that, amen. The people that build ships would have saw that, amen. The people that study the oceans, they would have saw that. They would have had discovery after discovery after discovery. All these people that are discovering the stars and the galaxies, guess where it is? heaven upon heaven. They're going to find, I know what they're going to find. I'm not smarter than they are, but I know what they're going to find because God already told me. They're going to find stars after galaxies, after stars, after, that's what they're going to find. Amen? If they want to go to Mars, that's a human thing they want to do, but they're going to find nothing there. Amen? This is where God created life. Amen? And this isn't even evolution. This is about what book? Your book. And now the last one, the one that I pray about, and I really, this is on my heart. Hallelujah. Let me read first. Now when the Queen of Sheba, understand who the Queen of Sheba is. She was somebody with wealth beyond your imagination. Amen? Somebody with pride beyond your mind. Somebody who thought she had everything in life and there was nothing and she was in control. She was the one everybody looked. Are you with me? She heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to test him. To do what? With hard questions. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stone. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. How many? And who gave him the answers? God. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. Praise God. And listen to this. It goes on. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, and then she saw the house that he had built, not just the building, but the people in it, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went up to see the house of the Lord. She saw all the stuff. She saw people together, people united, people happy. Why were they happy? They had one God, amen? They looked at one God. She saw all of this, and the Bible says, there was no more spirit in her. She had nothing left. She was the same Sheba that got off the boat to see Solomon. Are you with me? She didn't change any of her ideas. She didn't change how she thought. But her spirit left her because she saw what God can do. She saw a man of God. She saw that, and her pride, amen, her pride left her. Are you with me? All that she had, all puffed up that she had, it left her. Did he have to fight the battle? What did Solomon do? Did he fight her? Was there a war? No. What happened? She saw. Now I want you to follow me. Are you with me? Don't go away now. This is getting good. That was in 1 Kings 10. Thank you, Lord. This is in the book of Judges. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outpost of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch. And they blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpets in their right hand for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran out and cried out, and they fled. When the 300 blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his companion throughout the whole camp. And the army fled to Beth Ekasia. They stood united, amen. They had their torches and they had their horns. And they made a show. Amen. They showed them something. They saw that the enemy camp actually got so afraid that they ended up attacking each other. That's what the Bible says. And that's in the book of Judges 7. If you want to read that, you can read that, the whole story. But Sergio, you see what I'm saying? There was a battle there. People coming against them. The numbers were not in our favor, but God told them to do something, to stand as one. Are you with me? To stand. Was there a war? No. God took care of it. Are you with me? Now there's two more, and you say, "Well, okay, Larry, that was in the Bible." But let me tell you, there's two more. Red Cloud was a chief, an Indian chief of the Lakota tribe. This is a real guy. He was with Sitting Bull. He was with Crazy Horse. Amen. He was fighting against Custer. That's how that not that long ago. And he was fighting, and he wasn't going to change his ways. He was an Indian chief, and he was going to stay an Indian chief, and he was going to fight the soldiers till the last day. He wasn't going to stop fighting, amen? His ideology was to take over. Are you with me? General Grant invited this chief to to Washington and gave him a dinner and talked to him about fighting and wars. And then he took him out back and he opened up the doors. And out behind those doors were cannons, the line of cannons, and the bayonets and the guns and the soldiers. And Red Cloud looked at those cannons and he looked at all the armor wear that they had. He looked at everything and his spirit left him. He knew right then the battle was over. Are you with me? And there's one more that you might not even be aware of, and how we need to fight the war that we're fighting. Anybody remember Robert E. Lee at Appomattox, you know, with Grant? Do you know why he went to Appomattox surgery? He didn't go to, he went there to defeat Grant. He had a plan. You read it yourself. General Lee went to Appomattox not to make a treaty with General Grant. He went there to fight the battle. He got there, and then he saw the men that General Grant had ready. He saw the artillery. He saw how they were prepared. I want to read what they, well, I wrote down what he said. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. He said this, "Then there is nothing left for me to do but to go and see General Grant." He saw too much. He saw the power. He saw the unity. Amen? You don't have to use power if you're all one. If you have it, you don't have to use it. If they can see it, amen? If they understand what they're up against, the way the Bible teaches us, you can see it. If they can see it, their spirit will leave them, amen? When I hear about people talking about the wars that we're fighting today, I said, Lord, let them see your way. Let us unite as one people. Not just all religions, but let us all unite. All the countries come together and tell them, no more. No more. Let them see. You're not going to change. Everybody, how many of you ever heard, oh, you're not going to change the way they think? I don't want to change the way they think. I want them to think that there's no gain in reaching out the way they think. Amen? And God is showing us over and over again. He showed us those two stories in the Bible. He showed us in real life. General Lee went to Appomattox to fight Grant. He saw too much. Amen? Red Cloud went to Washington. He saw too much. Amen. Sheba went to see Solomon. She saw too much. If we really get focused on God, we get our people in charge of us focused on God, and they talk to other people about God's way, then the enemy will see too much. We don't have to fight. We don't have to send our kids into every little village. That's not the way God taught us to do it. And if we teach them God's way, this way, the book, this Bible, amen. If we teach them God's way, they will see too much. Amen. And when they see too much, they won't change how they think, but they'll change how they act. Amen? And isn't it that all we really want? But once we stop them from acting, the world can get that peace back again. Amen? Because it's terror that's coming against us. We need to show them strength in God. Just like everything going on in the country, we need to show them God. We need to show them unity. Amen? We need to lift up and show them what a Christian means so that we can all be victorious. We have so much to be thankful for. And this book is not just a story about God. All these things in the Bible, like I'm reading, like Noah's Ark, there's so much in here that if they knew, if they somebody studied this, they would learn immediately and just discover greater things. Science needs to look at this before they look at the world and look at. They need to look at this before they decide what to do in battle. Amen? This book. It's just not a holy book. This is a book of life for every Christian who believes in it. Amen. It's a book of life for anybody who dares to trust in God the way we do. It changes your life. This book changes you. All other books get you involved in a religion. All other books get you involved in a denomination. This book changes your life. Amen. So you want to be with God and you want to be around people with God because He is victorious. Give Him praise. Thank you, Lord. I read that over and over. I said, Lord, let them see that. We can end this. We can end this. There's enough countries to come together that we can end this. We don't have to send our men and women into battle. Just let them stand there. Show them the power and the strength and say that we're not afraid. Once they see that they're not, that there's nothing left, their spirit will leave them. Amen? That's God's way. And I trust God. I do. You have a lot to be thankful for, church. You really do. We have a lot to be thankful for as a church. Look what we're building. Look around you and see what we're building. And we just need to continue the growth. We continue to tell people about God. Tell them about the good news. Amen. Let them know that when you come here, you hear the good news, that you come here to be a family. I love that we know everybody's name. We need to learn all our names in soccer. I think that's what a church should be, where we all know. And as we grow, it's going to be more work for us. Amen. And we're going to need more leaders. We're going to need more deacons. We're going to need another elder, Elder Patson. We need, so as we grow, we're going to need more. But as we grow, God is going to be, this town is going to be blessed. That's how it happens. Amen. Out this door into the street. Let the light shine. Let God be the light. Let God be the way that we look. Don't look at the hate. Don't let those hateful words get in your spirit any longer. When you hear those words, when somebody uses those words of hate, pray for that person. Because the worst part is, whatever they're trying to say, after they say that word, Jack, you don't listen anymore. If that's what they feel, then there's no conversation. I want to have a conversation to heal the land, but I want it to be about God. I want to hear more about God. I want to hear more about people with faith, amen? People who believe in the book of God. People who believe that we can overcome with God, amen? Because with God, nothing is impossible. I believe it. I look out and I see it on Sunday. Nothing is impossible. They said this was impossible. Now this impossibility is growing in front of everybody's eyes. And we all give them praise, church. Hallelujah. Please pray for our daughter and my bride. They're doing some tests for her, and she just got that in the hospital, and they're giving her an IV, and they're checking for the other stones, and just pray for her strength. And she is the matriarch. She takes care of, we have three boys and four grandchildren down there, and our daughter's the one that takes care of all of them. So when she gets sick, it's hard because the boys don't know what to do, and they don't know how to do this. So I know that Nana here is just torn between being here with me and being with them. So if you pray, I know that we'll get a good report this afternoon. Amen. I believe this afternoon we'll get a good report. I'm not waiting until tomorrow because my God is in charge. But if you all pray with us, we sure appreciate that. Hallelujah. We have so much to be thankful for. We all do. And it started with Jesus on that cross. So I ask you for just a couple of minutes to just give him thanks and show the love and show the, just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you did for me. Because that's all he asks us to do right now. When we do the Lord's Supper, that's what the Bible called the Lord's Supper. It's just remembering what Jesus did for us and accepting that. In Jesus' name, deacons. Thank you, Lord. With Elder Pat and Brother Tom. Let them find all the joy they can find in this Thanksgiving that she spends with her daughter. Trust she knows God. She knows the truth. She knows the word. But she needs prayer and she needs her strength too. She'll see the joy in every minute that she spends. Thank you, Lord. That's what believers do. They have the strength the world doesn't understand. Thank you, Jesus, for this church, for these people. Thank you, Lord, that it's filling with people who want to know you. Thank you, Lord, that our prayers are being met right in front of our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Pray for those who aren't here today, Lord, to know they need to be here.
They need to be here. They need to get in the habit of coming to church. And once that gets in their spirit, they won't stop. The best part of their Sunday, with their brothers and sisters, finding strength from other people, so they're never alone. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Everything we believe, everything we stand for is through Jesus. Because of what Jesus did for us. You didn't do anything to earn it. You didn't ask Him to do it. He did it because He loved you first. In Jesus' name. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Praise God. Because of the blood that He shed for us, we are covered in that. When God looks down, He doesn't see our trespasses. He sees somebody who loves His Son. Jesus poured that wine into a cup. My blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins, according to the book of Matthew. Good enough for me. If it's in that word, it's good enough for me. If it's in that word, it's food that I can eat every day and become stronger. Take a minute, just say thank you, Lord. Says God, marvel at the faith of the centurion. Let him look down this morning and see faith that he can marvel at. Thank you, Lord. We believe. You can heal us, Lord. We believe you can heal our land, Lord. We call on you, Lord. With faith, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that I have this day to rejoice in. It's a beautiful Sunday in November. I have brothers and sisters to talk to today. I see smiles today. That I can share a smile today. Thank you, Lord. I can do those things while I'm waiting for you to answer our prayers. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We have so much to be thankful for today. Be thankful for them and give God the rest. Just believe. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, deacons. This is not something that we just do. This is to bring you closer to God. God asked us to do this, and we want this church to be in obedience to the word, but it's to bring you closer to God. Not the act of what we're doing, but that you're accepting God into your heart. In Jesus' name. Praise God.